This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, entitled The Pandavas Retire Timely, text number
38.
We want everyone to listen very carefully this morning because Govinda Maharaj has requested that we leave time for questions. Svarat potram vinayinam atmana shushumam gunai toyanivya patim bhumer abhyas ninchad gajavhaye. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, in the capital of Hastinapur, he enthroned his grandson, who was trained and equally qualified as the emperor and master of all land bordered by the seas.
使其成为以海洋为边界的所有陆地的帝王和主人。Purport.
The total land on the earth bordered by the seas was under the subjugation of the king of Hastinapur.
要指以海洋为边界的地球上的陆地都归哈斯提那普尔的君王统治。
Maharaj Yudhisthira trained his grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, who was equally qualified in state administration, in terms of the king's obligation to the citizens. Thus Parikshit was enthroned on the seat of Maharaj Yudhisthira prior to his departure back to Godhead. Concerning Maharaj Parikshit, the specific word used, Vinayinam, is significant.
因此, Why
was the king of Hastinapur, at least till the time of Maharaj Parikshit, accepted as the emperor of the world?
为什么哈辛那普的王君王至少直到帕瑞奇的王那一代都被公认为是世界帝王呢?
The only reason is that the people of the world were happy because of the good administration of the emperor.
唯一的原因就是作为帝王他们卓越的执政使世人感到快乐.
The happiness of the citizens was due to the ample production of natural produce such as grains, fruits, milk, herbs, valuable stones, minerals, and everything that the people needed.
当时由于他们的优秀管理,大自然盛产人们所需的五谷,水果,牛奶,草药,宝石,矿物等一切自然产物,人民生活幸福快乐.
They were even free from all bodily miseries, anxieties of mind, and disturbances created by natural phenomena and other living beings.
当时的人们甚至不受由自然现象或其他生物所导致的身体疾病、心理焦虑等因素的干扰。
Because everyone was happy in all respects, there was no resentment, although there were sometimes battles between the state kings for political reasons and supremacy.
当时尽管因为政治原因和主权问题，诸侯之间有时会有战争，但由于臣民们都安居乐业、幸福快乐。
Everyone was trained to attain the highest goal of life, and therefore the people were also enlightened enough not to quarrel over trivialities. The influence of the age of Kali gradually infiltrated the good qualities of both the kings and the citizens, and therefore a tense situation developed between the ruler and the ruled. But still, even in this age of disparity, between the ruler and the ruled, there can be spiritual emolument and God consciousness. That is a spiritual, or that is a special prerogative. So here in this verse, the word emperor is used. All of you here in China, you're also familiar with this word emperor. For many hundreds, or actually many thousands of years, your country was ruled by emperors. This dynasty, that dynasty, etc. Technically, an emperor is the king of kings. There may be many kings in a kingdom, but the chief king, the head king, he's called the emperor. And after the battle of Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago in India, Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was made the emperor, he was made the king of kings by the Lord himself. Actually, one of the principal reasons for the battle, the famous battle of Kurukshetra, was to establish Yudhishthir as the emperor. Of course, there were many reasons for the battle of Kurukshetra. We also know the battle took place so that the Lord Krishna could speak Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna for the benefit of all humanity for all of time. But another reason was to establish Yudhishthir as king, because all the kings were fighting. We hear in Krishna book, the very beginning of the Krishna book, how the earth was overburdened by demoniac kings. Who were not ruling properly, who were not ruling according to Vedic injunction. So they were so powerful that no peace or prosperity could be established. So therefore, Lord Krishna, he had to personally appear, and one of his purposes in appearing was to annihilate the demons, to kill these demoniac kings. And when they're all the dead and gone, kings like Jarasandha and Kamsa and Shishupal, and there's so many names, when they were all dead and gone, then after the battle of Kurukshetra, then Krishna established Yudhishthir as king of kings. He became the emperor of the whole world. Historians will be interested to note, if they accept the Bhagavatam, that at one time in history there was one earthly state. There was one state ruled by the emperor who reigned or was situated in what is now Delhi, Hastinapur previously. There's no capital of the world now.
现在这个世界已经没有首都了。
We may have our capitals of our countries.
当然我们自己的国家会有首都。
Like here in China, you have Beijing. Is that correct?
Yes.
You have Beijing.
比如说中国我们有北京。
And in Australia, they have Canberra.
澳大利亚有 Canberra.
We've just come from Australia.
我们刚刚从澳大利亚过来。
And in New Zealand, they have Wellington.
新西兰呢有 Wellington 这个地方。
And in my country we have Washington D.C.
我的国家美国它的首都是 Washington D.C.
So the whole country is ruled from these capitals. But just imagine, at one time in history there was one capital for the whole world and there was one emperor for the whole world.
现在我们不同的国家都有不同的首都来统治，但是我们想象一下，在曾经有那么一段时间，整个世界就一个王国，就一个帝国，而且只有一个首都。
All of you people, all of your ancestors, used to pay tribute not to Beijing, but to Hastinapur.
我们中间所有人的祖先以前我们的所有的这供奉啊不是供给北京而是供给 Hastinapur.
There's reference to all of you in the Bhagavatam. You're called the Kasha race.
事实上在八卦天国家梵歌里面也提到我们，我们以前叫做 Kasha 种族。
You were considered a little difficult to work with.
Kasha 这个地方好像是比较困难的。
Because there's a verse in Bhagavatam that says, even people of the Kasha race, they can also be delivered by the mercy of the Lord, especially through chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
因为在国家瓦坛里面这样提到，他说即便像 Kasha 这样的种族也能够通过唱诵 Hare Krishna 圣名而得到拯救。
Actually, we see that that is true because all of you are very enthusiastic devotees.
事实上我们已经看到这一切都是真实的，因为大家都是非常充满热情的奉献者。
You're coming forward in a large group here to hear the Bhagavatam.
你们成群结队的跑到这里来，来聆听国家瓦坛。
You chant and dance in great ecstasy.
你们还带着极大的喜乐的唱诵和舞蹈。
And I've seen that you really like prasadam.
而且我还能看得出你们大家非常喜欢 prasadam。
Yes, when those chopsticks start flashing, you can hardly see those chopsticks moving. They're moving so fast as you put that prasad in your mouth. So you're good candidates for devotional service.
你们用筷子那个速度飞速，我都看不清楚你们在使用，所以你们是做奉献服务的很好的候选人。
So we can see there's great potential for your country, although at this time it's not possible to really preach.Openly in China.
所以虽然说现在我们就几乎是不可能公开在中国传教的，但是中国肯定有很大的潜力。
But if that opportunity were there, and I'm sure by the grace of the Lord, one day, perhaps not in our lifetimes, but one day that opportunity will be there, I think there'll be a great flood of love of Godhead throughout the country of China.
虽然说我们不肯定在我们今生能不能看到这一天，但是我相信，由于得到了主的仁慈，那么中国有一天。肯定会充满了神爱的这种境界状况。
It's the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada.
这都是由于主 Sri Chaitanya 和 Srila Prabhupada 的仁慈。
And also Srila Prabhupada's dearmost son, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj.
当然，同时还有 Srila Prabhupada 最亲密的、最亲爱的儿子 Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami 的仁慈。
All the fruits and flowers that we're seeing today, in the form of you beautiful devotees, of course, is the result of the seed.That was planted in your country by the preaching efforts of Goswami Maharaj.
那么今天我们看到你们这所有的整个中国的所有的传教成果，都是由于是Tamal Krishna Goswami 的仁慈和努力。
So, from time to time, we must remember the efforts of such devotees in their pioneering work in Krishna consciousness, lest we not forget.
所以呢，我们都应该时不时的想起我们这个中国的先锋来到中国传教的先锋队。
So in this verse in particular, we hear some of the duties of the emperor, or let us just say, for practical purposes, the king.
那么这个世界，那么主要是讨论的这个帝王，或者说实际一点，我们就说这个国王的重要性。
Nowadays, people are interested in courses of leadership.
现在人们都喜欢去上这个领导的课程。
If you go to the bookstore, I don't know about here in China, but if you go to the bookstore like in the West, you'll see lots of books on leadership.
我不知道现在中国的书店是怎么样的，但是我们在西方的书店去看，有很多很多书都是关于教你怎么样管理，怎么样做领导的。
I think one of the first most prominent books was called The One Minute Manager. There's a book called The One Minute Manager.
其中有一本非常非常出名的书叫做《一分钟管理管理者》。
So also here, so many instructions are given in Bhagavatam how to lead the people.
那么现在我们也可以从这个八观他们里面听到教我们怎么样来管理或者说去领导别人。
Actually, there's ample information on leadership in Vedic scriptures.
事实上在伟达文献里面有很多很多关于管理的课程。
Most notably, there are what is called the Dharma Shastras.
那最著名的叫做 Dharma Shastra, 就是说叫做关于宗教的经典。
Like Manusamhita or Atharva Veda.
比如说 Manusamhita, Atharva Veda?
Atharva, yeah.
还有一个叫 Atharva Veda.
In Atharva Veda in particular, it teaches how to rule citizens in times of peace.
Atharva Veda 尤其是教我们在和平年代如何来统治臣民。
How to conduct war when necessary.
如何在需要的时候去发动战争。
How to manage the treasury.
如何去管理我们的财富。
How to manage the money.
怎么样管理金钱。
How to inflict punishment for crimes that are committed.
如果有犯罪行为的时候如何去施以惩罚。
It may sound kind of boring to all of us because, we're transcendentalists, but it's required.
当然对于我们来说可能听起来觉得挺厌倦的因为我们都是超然主义者。
Even for a spiritual organization, all these things are required.When Śrīla Prabhupāda was leaving this world, one day he called Giriraj Swami to his bedside.
在 Śrīla Prabhupāda 最后的日子里面，他曾经有一次叫 Giriraj Swami 叫到他的床前。
And he asked Maharaj. He said, Prabhupāda said, "How will this movement go on when I leave?"
他就问那个 Prabhupada 就说当我离开的时候这个整个运动怎么样才能够继续下去呢、
Prabhupada was concerned how ISKCON will go on after he died.
因为 Prabhupada 当时非常的忧或者有点担心当他离世之后这个整个运动应该怎么样继续。
So Giriraj Maharaj gave a standard answer. He said, well, Prabhupada, if we follow the four regulative principles and we chant 16 rounds, everything will go very smoothly.
Giriraj Swami 他就给了一个标准答案他说跑跑如果我们念诵十六圈每天念十六圈然后追随思想规范原则一切都会运行正常的
So Prabhupada said no
跑跑说不是的
Not that we shouldn't chant our rounds and follow the principle He said no He said organization and intelligence Then things will go on smoothly
当然这并不是说我们就不用念十六圈也不用追随规范原则了但是同时他就更加的就是如果我们应该很好的组织而且 organization andintelligence.
组织和智
慧。
Organization. If there's good organization, there's intelligent leaders, then things will go.
如果这个组织的很好，如果还有非常有智慧的管理者，那么这个运动就能够正常运行。
So how to organize society? That's the duty of the leader, the king.
那么到底怎么样来管理或组织一个社团呢？那这就是这个领导者的职责了。
And if things are organized nicely, there'll be peace and there'll be.Material prosperity, and people will be all happy.
如果一切组织得很好的话，人们还会有物质上的繁荣，人们都会非常的快乐。
Of course, kings weren't only interested in peace and material prosperity. That wasn't their only interest.
当然，对于管理者来说，这个物质上的财富或者说管理，并不是他们唯一的兴趣。
As Govinda Maharaj pointed out the other day, these kings were sometimes, not always.They were Rajarishis. They were like sadhus out of obligation sitting on the throne. So they were actually more interested in the spiritual prosperity of the public.
就像Govinda Maharaj 前几天讲课提到的，他说其实曾经有的时候有些国王他们其实是圣人，他们只是为了能够管理人们或者说带领人们才来坐到王位上。事实他们更大的兴趣还是希望能够达到灵性上的进步。
There's two things we have to deal with, the material and spiritual. We have these bodies and we're spirit souls. So we have to satisfy the needs of the body and we have to satisfy the needs of the soul.
那一共呢有我们知道有物质的和灵性的那我们有这个物质躯体但同时呢我们又是灵魂所以我们需要同时满足物质和灵魂的需要。
Isn't it? Life is a lot about just finding the balance.
是不是其实我们的一生当中都是在去寻找平衡
Here in China you have that famous sign The yin and the yang Yin yang Yin yang
我们中国有非常出名的阴和阳
How do you say?
Yin yang
Yin yang Yin yang So what does it mean? It's the white and it's the black, and they're not. It's not like a straight line coming between the two, but you see it's kind of curved, isn't it? The yin and the yang. They're interflowing. The material and the spiritual are very intimately connected. So to be happy, we need both material prosperity and we need spiritual prosperity. Then everything's okay. How do you say okay in Chinese?
Hao.
Hao.
所以呢我们看到这个阴阳其实它的那个图啊就是一面是白的一面是黑的而且白和黑之间不是一道直线它是曲线所以呢其实这个灵性的和物质它两者是紧密相连的那如果我们能够在这两者达到平衡的话那一切都会非常好。So
the kings, they had to know how to facilitate material prosperity and spiritual prosperity.
那么这些国王们他们就知道如何来同时满足物质和灵性上的繁荣。
But unfortunately, modern day politicians, as Prabhupada points out here, they're more interested in the material prosperity because that's what the mass of people want. People are not so interested in spiritual life in Kali Yuga. Therefore, the politicians, they only talk about the material benefits that people will get if they're elected.
庞巴在这个要旨没进一步接着他说但是不幸的是尤其是在卡利年代因为人们他们根本对灵性上的利益根本不感兴趣每一次尤其是我们看到选举的时候如果这个领导被候选人如果他们只是谈论怎么样在物质上使人们受益那么他们就会被选举。But
the people won't be happy with those politicians if they simply give them those material facilities because the yin and the yang were both material and spiritual at this point, so to speak.
但是事实上如果这个领导只是给予人们物质上的快乐物质上的满足和昌盛繁荣的话人们并不会得到真正的快乐因为我们必须同时满足阴和阳也就是说我们必须满足物质和灵性上平衡的满足和快乐。Therefore
in every country you see constant change, one political party after another political party after another people are never satisfied because the leaders can't really satisfy them in the ultimate sense of the word spiritually. So people become upset, they're not happy, and they elect new leaders or they overthrow the leaders.
所以我们会看到在这个世界上各个国家里面有不断不断的会不断改变这些政党一会儿是这个政党一会儿是那个政党为什么呢因为人们对这个政党的统治并不满足因为这些人并没有办法满足他们作为灵魂真正的需要所以他们非常的不高兴非常的不满足所以他们才会一个接一个的去选举不同的政党。In
Vedic times, the people were satisfied with their leadership because the leadership facilitated their material needs and also helped them on the spiritual path. So people felt satisfied with their leadership.
事实上在伟达时代人们对整个的他们的领导是非常的满足的因为这些管理者他们能够同时满足人们物质上的繁荣需要和灵性上的需要。But
modern leaders don't know these things.
但是现代的这些统治者他们对此一无所知。They
don't read the Manusamhita.
Manusamhita
discusses this point.
事实上, Manusamhita, 就是Manu法典, 是讨论过这些样子。
There's a famous verse that Prabhupada often quoted from Manusamhita. Pravritir eshu bhutanam nivritir tu mahaphalam. That everyone in material life is attracted to furthering the way of attachment to material progress.
这个物质世界上每一个人都 further away, increasing.
But nivritir tu mahaphalam, the greatest treasure is to be gained by following, what does it say? By following the way of detachment.
但事实上，人们真正的利益，它是从如果我们去追随这个气觉的原则，才会开始。
So if a leader knows how to facilitate material prosperity and teach people detachment from this world and attachment to God, that leader can stay in power for years and years and years. People will be satisfied with him.
所以说如果一个领导他懂得同时给予人们物质上的繁荣昌盛同时又教人们应该在灵性上变得气绝的话那么这个领导肯定会很多很多年都非常的有力量。
What is leadership? Leadership means to take one out of darkness into light.
领导是什么意思? 领导就是把人们从黑暗当中拔到带到进入光明之中。
Out of ignorance into knowledge.
也就是说把人们从无知带到知识。
Out of the material world into the spiritual world. That is leadership. To lead means to move progressively forward.
从物质世界带入到灵运世界，也就是说领导的功能就是让人不断的前进，领导就是这个意思。
The very word lead means to progressively moving forward.
领导的意思就是前进。
But if you're a fool, if you're a fool, how can you lead? If you're not enlightened, how will you lead people?
但是如果一个人非常的愚蠢，如果一个人都非常的无知，他怎么可能去领导别人？
Like Jesus said of materialistic leaders, the blind leading the blind, and they all fall into the ditch.
就像耶稣基督说，这些物质主义者、物质的领导，他们说就是瞎子引瞎子，最后就会掉到了沟里面。
But Vedic definition of leadership is out of darkness into light, out of ignorance into knowledge.Out of the material world into the spiritual world. That's real leadership.
但是呢，伟大时代的领导，他们是把人们从黑暗中带到光明，从无知带到知识，从物质世界、物质层面带到灵性层面，这才是真正的领导。
Therefore, Bhagavatam says no one should become a spiritual master.
所以《佛教梵歌》里面说到，一个人没法成为灵性导师。
A father.
成为一个父亲。
A husband.
一个丈夫。
A mother.
或者母亲。
A king.
国王。
Or worshipable demigod,
或者说值得崇拜的半神人,
unless they can deliver their dependence from the repetition of birth and death.
除非他能够把那些依靠他的人带离这个生死轮回。
So that's how the Raja Rishis thought.
那么这就是那些 Raja Rishi, 就是圣哲国王们所做的事情。
But it wasn't always that the leader was like a saint.
但是呢，并不是说所谓的领导就一直都像一个圣人。
That was rare.
It's
hard to find saints.
找到圣人非常的困难。
Chanaka Pandit, he says, you won't find a pearl in the head of every elephant.
Chanaka Pandit 曾经说，你在这个大象的头上，你找不到珍珠的。
You won't find rubies in every mountain.
你们也不可能在每一座山上都能找到 ruby 这个红宝石。
You won't find sandalwood, that's beautiful sandalwood tree in every forest.
你也不可能在每一座森林里面都能找到美丽的檀香树。
And he says you may not find the association of saintly persons in every birth.
也就是说，同时呢，你也不可能在每一个生世都能得到圣人的怜悯。
Saints are the perfected human beings.
圣人是指那些已经达到完美的人类。
They're the smallest percentage in human society.
但是现在在这个人类社会当中，其实已经是它的比例是最小的。
Out of the mass of people, they've achieved perfection, so they're a very small percentage.
在整个人民大众当中，那些达到完美的人，他的比率是非常小的。
Hard to find a saintly person. They're very rare.
这些圣人非常的罕有，你要找到他们非常不容易。
Manushyanam sahasresu kaschidyatate shidhaye. Krishna says in Gita that out of many millions and millions of men, perhaps one has taken up the process of self-realization. And of those who have done that, hardly one knows me in truth.
Krishna 在《佛教梵歌》他曾经说的，他说有千千万万当中寻找完美的人，只有很少的人才能够真正达到自我，能够走上这个自我觉悟之途。而在很多这种人当中，几乎很难有一个人能够真正的认识到真正的我。
If you're lucky enough, or let us say fortunate enough, Maharaj said Bhagyam the other day, if you're fortunate and you find such a person,You should immediately take shelter of their lotus feet.
如果我们足够幸运，能够真正找到这样的自我觉悟的人，那我们应该立即去托庇于他的莲花座。
We had several of our programs in Australia were so popular that we had to turn people away. We had to close the doors and tell people, "Go home. There's no room left in our program." I was always lamenting. It's taken them maybe hundreds or thousands of births to get the opportunity.To associate with genuine sadhus, devotees of the Lord, and we have to close the door in their face? What is this? Next year we have to get bigger halls.
前阵子在澳大利亚举行节目的时候，因为这是个公众节目，是在一个大厅里面。很多时候因为这个大厅不够大，所以我们必须得跟很多很多人说对不起，这个已经买了，坐不进去了，我们不得当着他们的面把这个门关上，让他们进不来。当时我非常的悲伤，因为他们这些人那么。得到这样一个罕有的机会，能得到圣人的怜悯，现在我们却不得不把他们拒之门外。所以下次我们一定要找一个更大的大厅。
So in Vedic culture, we hear of the kings, but they weren't always pure devotees like Yudhishthir or Parikshit or Dhruva. Not always. They may have been righteous, but they may not have been pure.
那么在伟达时代也是像Yudhishthir Maharaj、Dhruva Maharaj 等等这一类的，他们其实非常罕有的这种圣人，这种。这种达到完美的，当然可以说他们 可能会非常的正直，但是这种纯粹的圣人国王是非常含久的。
Kings were often in the mode of passion.
通常情况下，国王他们都是处于
情欲形态。They had to divide and conquer and rule and make judgments. So, you know, although they were trying to do the right thing, they were sometimes influenced by passion.
他们必须不断的划分统治，然后去惩罚等等。当然他们也试图在去做政治的事情，但是呢他们仍然受到情欲形态的控制。
So therefore Vedic Shastra dictated that a king he always had to have a council of brahmanas.
所以呢这个经典里面他就有这样的说法，就每一个国王都应该有一个婆罗门的一个顾问一样去
who could give good advice, advice in the mode of goodness.
也就是这个顾问呢他应该处在善良形态，他能够给这个国王提出非常好的建议。
It's like even as devotees, we're transcendentalists, but because of our material attachments and our conditioning, we still have some impurities. So we always, before making an important decision, we always consult with the spiritual master, with the shastra, with the sadhus. We don't just independently make some decision. We know that we should take advice from others who are spiritually situated before making an important decision.
即便对于我们奉献者来说，我们因为我们虽然是奉献者，但是因为我们本身还有很多的物质的依附啊，物质的污染等等，所以呢，每当我们要做出重大的决定的之前，我们必须去征求 guru 的意见，征求沙度圣人奉献者的意见，还要去查询经典。
So nowadays the leaders, they have their ministers, they have their counselors, but they all have material qualifications. They don't have like brahmanas, they don't have priests around them, giving them some good advice from the spiritual platform. But that was required in Vedic age.
那么在现在这些统治者或者是很多管理者，他们呢也有一些顾问去，他们随时会咨询他们。但这些人他们都只是具备一些物质的资格，他们对灵性上并没有就是说对灵性一无所知，他们不是婆罗门。事实上，但其实这是非常需要的。
The politicians and the lawyers and people like that, they may be conversant with material laws, but they may not know the subtle laws of nature.
对政治家、法律师啊等等，他们可能对这个物质上的法则非常的清楚，但是对灵性的这种精微层面的法则则一无所知。
But the brahmanas, they knew about the subtle laws of nature.
但是呢，这些婆罗门他们对于大自然的这种精微的法则也是非常清楚。
And to be a good king, you had to know about all the laws because the laws affect all the people.
如果你要做一个好的国王，其实你是必须对物质和灵性的法则都是非常清楚的，因为你要统治。
How can you be a king? How can you be a leader without being conversant with the laws of God?
你怎么？如果你对这个神的法则一无所知的话，你怎么可能去领导人们呢
？The laws of God are not like the arbitrary or relative laws of mundane politicians.
神的法则跟这现在这些世俗的政治家的这些世俗的法典那些法律啊等等，那是没有是很。
The laws of God are absolute.
神的法则它是绝对的。
And they influence people at all times and all places, like the law of karma.
这就比如说神的这个业报定律一样，它是在对所有的人所有的时间都是实用的。
The law of karma is very important.
我们知道这个业报法律它是非常重要的。
Whatever you do comes back to you.
无论你做出什么，结果它都会回到你身上。
If you do good, good comes back to you. If you do bad, bad comes back to you.
如果你做了好事，好事回到你身上；如果你做了坏事，结果也会有坏事发生在你身上。
So if you're king and you're ruling people and you want your citizens to be happy, you have to know what the good things to do and are and what are the bad things to avoid. Otherwise, your people are going to be miserable.
如果你要做一个好的国王，让人们快乐的话，那你就必须知道如何去做好的事情，避免不好的事情，否则的话，人们会很痛苦。
A king, he has to tell the people, don't kill, slaughter the animals, don't take intoxication, don't engage in illicit sex, don't gamble, because if you do, you'll get bad karma, you'll be unhappy.
那么，作为一个国王，他就必须告诉他的臣民，你不要去吃，不要去屠杀动物。不要去麻醉，也不要赌博，也不要过非法性生活，否则的话，你的生活会变得非常痛苦。
Of course, nowadays there's secular government. It means there's no connection between religion and the state.
但是现在我们知道，我们的宗教和国家这个管理政府其实已经没有关系了。
But that's because the religions did so many bad things themselves in the past, so people don't want religion in government.
那是因为这个宗很多的宗教团体在以前也做了很多的坏事情，所以现在人们不想跟这个宗教有关系。
But Prabhupada said the misuse of something doesn't mean the original thing is wrong.
但是帕帕说，如果某一些人误用了某些事物，这并不意味着他们以前本身就是错误。
So good government religion has to be involved in good government because religion takes into consideration some of the subtle laws of nature, like karma, etc.
事实上我们现在的政府是应该去考虑这些宗教的这些法则的因为这个宗教它是更多的是跟这个大自然的精微的法律有关。
You can't ignore Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita and have a prosperous society.
如果我们想要让这个社会繁荣昌盛的话我们就没法去忽略主Krishna 在博迦梵歌里面的这些说法。
For example, Krishna discusses very clearly how to be materially prosperous.
比如说 Krishna 也其实也已经说出来了要怎么样才能达到物质上的繁荣。
He said, in the beginning, I sent forth generations of men and demigods.
他说在一开始的时候我就派来了很多的这些半神人。
And bless them that by the performance of yajna or sacrifice, all material facility will be bestowed upon you.
他如果我们你做一些而且给予他们祝福，如果我们经常去做火祭啊、祭祀各种各样的祭祀，那么他们就会有风调雨顺等等，繁荣昌盛。
Modern leadership thinks that by economic development, by building and industry and factories, people will be prosperous.
现在这些政治家，他们认为只要有了工厂、有了学校、有了各种各样的组织，这个社会就很好了。
But without the grace of God, nothing can be.successful.
但事实上，如果没有得到神的仁慈的话，没有任何事情能取得成功。
Actually, everything comes from God.
事实上，一切都是来自于神的。
Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitanam Ekobahanam Yovadidati Kamam. There's one person, there's so many eternal beings, but there's one who's fulfilling the desires of everyone. That's Krishna. So you can't ignore him.
当然了，永恒的生物体有很多很多，但是只有这一个能够实现人们所有的愿望，那就是 Krishna.我们没法去忽略他。
And if you acknowledge all the gifts that he's giving, he'll continue to provide them in abundance.
如果我们能去认，我们能承认他给我们的这所有的礼物，那么他就会不断的继续来保护我们。
And how do we acknowledge the existence of and the mercy of God? We perform yajnas.
那么到底怎么样去认可他的这些仆人呢？这些半神呢？那么就是通过火祭。
Yajna vai Vishnu, to please God. Actually, yajna.Really just means like saying thank you. Thanks.
其实祭祀它的含义就是说谢谢。
It's like if someone gives you a gift and you just ignore them, you don't say thank you. Well, don't expect you're going to get another gift from that person.
如果一个人给你礼物你然后你走开了谢谢都不说一声你就别指望他再给你下一次礼物了。
So is God giving us gifts?
所以呢现在神给了我们礼物。
Of course, he's giving us the air we breathe.He's giving the water we drink. He's giving the food we eat. Do the scientists create water? Do they create air? Do they create food? No. They can move those things around and assemble them and call them theirs, but they don't create them.Earth, air, fire, water, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all the material, they're all coming from God. Aham savasya pabhavo matta sarvam pavartate. I'm the source of everything that is material and spiritual.
土、水、火、空气、心意、自信、假如等等，这一切都是来自于神的。Krishna 在博迦梵歌里说了，物质世界、灵性世界，一切都来自于他。
And Krishna's very happy to provide these things for us.
事实上 ，Krishna 非常高兴的把这些提供了给我们。
We're his children.
因为我们是他的孩子。
So Father has a natural inclination to help his children.
那么父亲天生的他就想要去帮助自己的孩子。
Even the bad ones, he still feeds them.
即便那些坏孩子，还是会给他们吃的。
So God will maintain all of us.
所以呢，神会维系我们所有的人。
We just have to say thank you.
我们唯一要做的就是说谢谢你。
So how do you do that?
那么怎么来感谢呢
？Yajna vai Vishnu, you do yajnas. The king would tax the people, and with that money, he'd have these big agnihotras and tons of ghee and grains and charity. This, you know, Krishna didn't need all of that, but it's just an offering. It's a way of saying thank you. How do you say thank you in Chinese?
谢谢。
Sing sing.
谢谢。
谢谢。谢谢。谢谢。You say thank you. You just say thank you.
我们说这个谢谢的方式其实就是做祭祀，像以前的这些帝王他们去杀这个杀那个，其实这个 Krishna 不需要的，我们唯一需要做的就是跟 Krishna 说谢谢。
So therefore the king, he had the right to tax the people.
那国王他是有权利去攻击人们的。
People are complaining they get taxed.
Oh, tax, 对不起，收税。国王应该有这个权利去收税，那么人们总是在抱怨被收税了。
But the king would take that money, he would build roads, he'd dig wells, he'd make for clean water, he'd do so many things that the public benefits. It's not wrong to tax.
但事实上这个政府他收了这个税收啊，其实他是用来建路啊，修学校啊，等等等等，做保持人们的水的洁净啊，等等，这是需要的。
What's wrong is that when the politicians take the tax and they put it in their own pocket.
That's wrong. 这是没有问题，但如果这个政治家他把这个税收的他装到自己的口袋里面，那这就有问题了。
But the principle of taxing is not wrong.
但其实这个税收的原则本身
Some countries they tax as much as up to 60% of the people's earnings, but you go to those countries, you see nice roads and, you know, proper electrical facilities and pure water and nice buildings. So if the government uses it correctly, no problem.
我们看到有一些地方这个政府他们税收是 收人们的那个收入的 60%。说的是似乎是很高，但是我们可以看到你建的非常好的路，有洁净的水，有很好的建筑等等，其实这没有问题。
But corruption means that when the politicians take that money, which comes in various ways, and they put it in a Swiss bank account.
但是呢，当这些政治家他们把这所有的税收放在自己的私人银行里面，那就有问题了。
So then people don't benefit materially, and they don't benefit spiritually, because some of that money has to be used for yagyas.
那么这样的话人们在物质和灵性上都没有得到任何的益处，因为事实上这也是应该用来做祭祀。
It wasn't the Brahmins who organized the yagyas, it was the kings.
这些组织这些 yagya 组织这些祭祀不是婆罗门，应该是国王。
But of course nowadays such yagyas are not possible.
但到了现在这些日子 现在这个时代这个祭祀已经不可能了。
Not possible. So much ghee, so muchGrain, so much gold. No, it's not possible.
现在做这个祭祀需要很多的金子，需要很多的 ghee 啊等等，那是不可能的。
One time, Prabhupada was performing a marriage yagya for two of his disciples, Guru Das and Yamuna Devi.
有一次是 Prabhupada 给他的两个门徒 Guru Das 和 Yamuna Devi 做一个婚祭。
Yamuna was very happy. It was her wedding day.
Yamuna 他是很高兴的，因为这是他的婚礼的一天。
And Prabhupada gave the lecture and started the fire, and he poured the ghee onto the fire, and the fire went out.
Went out. 然后 Prabhupada 就讲了课之后，他就开始做这个祭祀，然后他把这个火上面浇这个 ghee， 这个火被熄灭了，被浇灭了，被 ghee 浇灭了。
So Prabhupada looked at the ghee, said, what kind of ghee is this? And the devotee said, it's not ghee, Prabhupada, it's margarine. You know, made from vegetable oil, not from cow. It's not ghee, it's not made from milk, it's vegetable oil. So he put vegetable oil on it, fire went out. So the temple president said, Prabhupada, we're too poor to afford ghee. So Prabhupada said, this marriage is starting off on a bad footing. It's starting off in a bad way. So Jamuna started to cry. And a few years later, her husband took sannyas. But she's a very good devotee.She's a very, very fixed devotee in Krishna consciousness.
Yamuna Devi Dasi, she is in the whole Krishna consciousness. She is very stable.
She wasn't too disturbed. Anyway, my point is that people don't have the money to perform these yagyas. To say thank you to God.
So
Lord makes it very easy. You don't need butter, you don't need gold, you don't need grains. You need a little prana. You need a little air, a little breath. You can glorify God with your breath. Who doesn't have breath?
所以呢，我们知道 Krishna 所以在这个年代就做了调整，你要做这个祭祀，再也不需要 ghee 啊，不需要金子，不需要这个了。但是呢，你们唯一需要做这个祭祀的方式呢，就是用一点点呼吸。谁没有呼吸
？Raise your hand if you don't have breath.
如果你没有呼吸的话，举手。
Oh, you won't be able to raise your hand because you'll be a dead man.
如果你们真的没有呼吸，你根本没法举手，因为可能就死了。
You won't be able to reply.
根本没法回答我。
We all have breath, so we can use that breath. Little of that breath.For glorifying God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Hare. 我们每个人都有呼吸，那么就用一点点呼吸来唱诵这个 Hare Krishna Mantra.
Krishna says in Gita, sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names.
Krishna 在佛教梵歌里面说了，在所有的祭祀当中，我就是唱诵圣名。
So if the governments of the world would organize...big Harinam Sankirtan parties, then you would see the whole situation would change. They don't see the connection between chanting Hare Krishna on the streets and material prosperity. Because they don't have faith in the holy names.Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. There's no difference between the name of God and God Himself.
事实上，神的名字和神本人是没有区别的。
And if you're glorifying God by chanting His holy name, He's pleased. And Prabhupada said, Krishna's no poor man. He's no poor man. He's Bhagavan. He's the owner of all. If He wants, He can flood the whole world with more facilities than we can even imagine or even use.
所以呢，如果我们只是对去唱诵 Krishna 的名字的话 ，Krishna 就会非常被取悦。爸爸说 ，Krishna 不是一个穷人，他我们如果能够取悦他的话，他事实上可以给这个世界上，赐给我们很多很多的物质财富，我们都没法使，我们都用不完。
It's、like sometimes you see the posters in India of Lakshmi. So Lakshmi is there in her hands like this, and from her hand is coming all the gold coins like a fountain.
如果去看一下印度的这些画，我们看到 Lakshmi Devi 就是幸运女神，她的手她是这样放的。这个手她其实是在撒给你金子，像山一样，像泉水一样涌过来。
The material people they scoff at the idea. This is some what is this hedonism, some idol? You know, no, but it's true.
这些物质主义者他们就会嘲笑这一点，他们说这就完全是偶像崇拜啊等。
You're spending millions and billions of dollars to increase material prosperity.Just take a few hours a day and try chanting Hare Krishna. See what happens. You're going to so much expense, so don't scoff at the idea. Just try it. Organize, you know, Maha Mahotsava Sankirtan parties throughout Beijing and Washington and Wellington and Canberra and chant Hare Krishna. Just see, try. See what happens. You will be very surprised.
你已经花了成百万、成十、成亿、成亿的这个金钱去做各种各样的物质上的这种事情。如果你就是去尝试一下，你不要再嘲笑，你就尝试一下去唱诵 Hare Krishna， 在北京、在 Wellington、在 Washington、在 Canberra 这些地方，这些首都啊，都去唱诵 Hare Krishna， 你会看到这个结果，让人非常的惊讶的。
Of course, it's not that we chant Hare Krishna for material prosperity. That's not why we chant for love of God.But these are some side benefits. Because Krishna doesn't want his devotees to live in austere conditions. He wants us to live a nice, simple life and chant Hare Krishna.
当然了，我们唱诵 Hare Krishna 并不是为了物质上的利益，我们是为了培养对神的爱。但是呢，这也是一个副产品，因为 Krishna 不希望看到他的奉献者过着一种非常苦行的生活。他希望我们好活得好好的，然后一面好好的去唱诵他的名字。
Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati related the story how in the early 1930s there was a plague, yeah, the plague in Calcutta. Many people were dying like flies, so to speak, from the plague.
Bhakti Sananda Saraswati 他曾经说在大概二十世纪的三十年代在扎尔各他曾经有一次饥荒，人们像那个苍蝇一样死得一堆一堆的。
So some sadhu, he came from Navadvip with the Kirtan party, and they did Kirtan all around Calcutta for 1 week. They didn't stop, almost 22 hours a day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And you know what? The plague stopped.
然后呢就有一批沙杜，有一批圣人从纳瓦推来到了加尔各的，他们就24小时的在整个加尔各的城市不断的唱诵哈里克森圣女，然后一个星期之后这个饥荒停止了。
And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he gave that as evidence of the potency of the holy names.
那 Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur 他就把这个作为证明圣名的力量的这个证据。
Look at Mother Yasoda. Whenever Krishna would get into difficulty to counteract the influence of the demons and the rakshasas and the ghosts, she would always chant names of Vishnu around her babies to protect him. So these things can be done if they're done for the ultimate purpose of serving Krishna.
那么亚修的妈妈，我们知道 Krishna 的母亲，她为了保护这个 Krishna 免离所有的灾难和恶魔的侵袭等等，她就不断的念 Vishnu 的名字。你看，她就来保护她的孩子，一直在她的孩子旁边来念。那其实最终还是为了去服务主，取悦主。
So that's material prosperity.
这就是物质上的利益。
Kings taxed the people to perform yagyas, and yagya vai Vishnu, people were prosperous.
第一，国王他们会收这个臣民的税，然后用这个税收来做祭祀，然后人们从中也。
And as far as his most important duty to ensure that people were making spiritual progress, the king was obliged to make sure people were following religious principles.
那么人们的最主要的职责就是去取得灵性上的进步，那么这个政府的职责呢，就是让人们也是在灵性上不断的进步。
Note that he didn't tell them which religion to practice, but he made sure that they were following religious principles which ultimately are universal.
他们不会告诉我们你去追随某一项宗教原则，是他应该告诉我们去追随这个普遍的宗教原则。
He didn't tell them you have to bemodern day, you have to be Catholic, or you have to be Protestant, or you have to be Muslim, or you have to be... No, are you following the principles of your religion? That's what the duty of the king was.
那么这个国王的职责，他会告诉你好好的去追随天主教的那个法则也好，还基督教的法则也好，穆斯林的法则也好，你只要认你不管你在哪个宗教，你就好好的去追随里面的这些原则，你就会很好。
It's like I read in the series of Prabhupada letters, I read that Prabhupada said that the most importantduty of the GBC, who are our material managers, is to go around to their temples and ask everyone if they're chanting their 16 rounds.
我曾经看到爬过来一系列给门徒的信，其中他就经常提到，他说他对这些庙长说，你到每个庙里面去问这些庙里的奉献者有没有念16圈。
Okay.
GBC.
Now to ensure that both material and spiritual progress were going on smoothly, the king had another duty.
那么除了保证人们的这些物质上的繁荣之外，国王还有一个职责。
He had to make sure there was no sinful activity going on.
同时呢，他要保证这个整个国家没有罪恶活动。
Just like we hear Maharaj Pariksit, he was a Rajarishi, he was a saintly person, but part of his duty was to tour his kingdom and make sure to see that no sinful activity was going on.
我们知道 Maharaj Pariksit 他本身是一个圣人国王。所以他还有一个职责，他就在整个国王王国里面不断的游行，这样保证整个国家没有任何的罪恶活动。
Because sinful activity messes up your body.
因为罪恶活动会让我们的身体非常就是一点都失去所有的平衡和。
Material prosperity is meant for the body, so if you do sinful activities, your body gets messed up.
那么物质繁荣其实也是为了满足这个身体，但如果我们一切都乱掉的话，那么这个身体是没办法好起来的。
Right.You take meat, you take intoxication, it messes your body, your mind up, drugs. So just throw your material prosperity out the window if you're engaged in sinful activity. And it messes up the soul.
这同时呢，也会给我们灵魂带来痛苦。
Not that anything can affect the soul, but we have that phrase, Atmahana, killer of the soul. One who engages in meat eating, he kills his chances for self-realization.
这当然给灵魂带来痛苦，不是说他就被这个经典里面被比作就是试图在杀害这个灵魂。他的意思呢，就是让我们失去了取得灵性进步的机会。
So if the king was doing yagyas, and there was material prosperity.And he was making sure that people were following their religious principles, but people were sinful, then everything was lost.
那么这个国王呢，他在做这种祭祀，给我们带来这些物质上的繁荣，但是最终人们因为非常的快乐，所以一切都最终失去了。
And he was lost too, because Manusmita says that the king, he inherits 1/6 of the sinful reactions of his people.
人类失败了，那对国王来说也失败了。为什么呢？在这个经典里面说，这个国王他得承担他的臣民的罪恶的六分之一。
People wonder, I want to be a politician and I'll have so much facility and people will honor me and love me. Well, hello, Manasamita said, if you're a leader, then you imbibe one-sixth of the good karma and the bad karma of your people.
很多人只是想我要做一个领导，我要做受到人们的崇拜，受到人们的爱戴啊等等。但事实上 Manasamita 这本书里面说到，一个领导他必须承受他的臣民的好的业报的六分之一和坏的业报的六分之一。
So if there's something like 30 million or 100 million or 1 billion people in your country, hey, watch out. You're gonna get some pretty heavy reactions if you don't stop, curb down that sinful activity.
所以说一个国家或者一个城市，如果它有三千万或者说三百万、三千万、一千万或者说十亿的人口的话，那么这个时候这些人都在从事罪恶活动的话，那么这个领导会非常的糟糕。
Therefore, we see that very often modern leaders, they meet a very violent death.
所以呢，通常情况我们会看到现在的很多政治家，他们的死亡的方式都是非常暴力的。
Even in my country, America, which is considered so prosperous and so quote unquote civilized, there's been so many presidents who've been assassinated.
即便在我的国家，也就是美国，这个美国被称为是非常整个世界是非常繁荣的，但事实上美国有很多的总统都是被暗杀的。
Some of the best or some of the worst depends how you look at it. Some of the best or some of the worst have been assassinated. Just depends what political party you're in.
很多的政党，就是他们这个政党纷争导致很多的最好的领导总统和最糟的总统都是被刺杀的。
So therefore, to rule.One, he couldn't be a pansy. He couldn't be weak. The king had to be powerful. He couldn't be weak. Sodium tejo dritir daksham yudhe chapya palayanam. Heroism, power.
他应该像有一个英雄的特色
，determination，
有力量啊，有决心
，resourcefulness，
还要非常足智多谋
，courage in battle，
作战当中要有勇气
，generosity，
还有慷慨
，and leadership，
还有这个管理才能
，are the natural qualities of a kshatriya or a king, a leader。
同时呢，他应该具备作为一个沙地利或者说一个国王、一个领导的一种自然的品性。
But the 12th canto Bhagavatam says.Dashu, Prayeshu, Rajeshu, that in Kali Yuga, most of the kings, they'll simply be sudras, they'll be thieves.
但是在佛教瓦塔那第十二篇里面说的，现在这个卡利年的这些国王大部分都是苏爪，都是小偷。
But actually to deal with these bad elements, the king had to be very brave, he had to go out and fight himself.
但事实上如果我们要去反击这些影响的话，那这些国王本身他们必须非常的勇敢有力量，他们得自己去作战。
Chanakapanda says to control, you control a bull with a ring in his nose.
Chanakapanda 曾经说，如果你要控制一头公牛的话，你要去拉住它的鼻子上的缰绳。
You can control an elephant with a goad, it's called an iron bar with a hook on it.
如果你要控制大象的话，你要通过它的这个鼻子上也有个什么
？You control a horse with a whip.
你要控制马了，你得用鞭子。
And you control a rascal man.
控制一个恶棍用什么
with a stick
用棍子
So king had to be good at the stick
所以呢这个国王他必须善于使用这个棍子
or better yet the sword
或更好的使用弓箭
if the king caught someone who was a murderer then he would be tried and he would be murdered he would no, he would be murdered he would be killed
如果一个国王他要去惩罚一个谋杀者的话那么他就必须去杀死这个谋杀者也会被杀。
Nowadays, out of sentiment, there's no death penalty. But death penalty was good. It freed the murderer from sinful reactions and scared people that they wouldn't commit crimes.
现在人们都比较感性，就是现在已经没有死刑，但其实死刑是好的，因为这个人如果犯了罪的话，通过死刑就能够把他所有这个罪恶反应清除掉了。
So in days of yore, the kings had to be very courageous people.
所以在我们现在这个年代，这些要做国王的话，必须是非常有勇气。
Powerful. Therefore, you see, the king, he always had this aura around him. He had fancy clothes and big swords and knives and beautiful crown and big chair to sit in and gorgeous buildings and lots of soldiers. So people would be intimidated. They have to follow the king. It was all part of the purpose.
所以我们通常前面我们看到一个国王全身闪闪发光，穿的这个袍子也闪闪发光的，还有美丽的皇冠啦，还有很繁华的座位啊等等，还有豪华的宫殿啊等等。这样你一看到他，你自己都觉得非常渺小，然后你肯定要听他的。
Chanakapanda says a Brahmin's strength is in his learning.
Chanakapanda 曾经说，一个婆罗门的力量在于他的知识。
A Vaishya's strength is in his wealth.
Vaishya的力量在于他的财富。
A Sudra's strength is in his attitude of service.
那么Sudra的力量在于他的服务态度。
And a Kshatriya's strength?
一个沙地利的力量在于
in his sword.
在于他的剑。
Actually, it's the literal translation is in his army.
实际上还有一个翻译，就一个他的字面的翻译是指他的军队。
So these kings, they had no qualms about going into battle themselves.
那么这些国王呢，他们就根本就不需要亲自上战场。
When there was no fight, the Kshatriyas, they were a little bit upset. Hey, there's nothing to do. We're getting, you know, restless.
但那个时候没有战争的话，这些沙地就坐立不安了。
Just like Shudras, they like to work with their hands. Vaishyas, they like to milk the cows.
就好像苏哲他们喜欢去做手工劳动。They knew. 这些Vaishyas他们喜欢去挤牛奶。
Take the nipple of the cow and you pull, and then you do your fingers like this. And you just like that. This is you, they liked the hands were very strong. They liked to milk the cows. And Brahmins, they like to preach. Two things Brahmins don't like. They don't like dirt and they don't like ignorance. You don't have to ask a devotee to go on Sankirtan. He's just he's waiting at the door when I can go out and preach. So if there's no fight, the Kshatriyas, hey, they're upset. You know, they get around, they get a little fatty, they eat too much, they get lazy, and they want to fight. So if there's no fight, then they fight amongst themselves.
所以呢，这些沙地利如果他没有仗打到，他就不高兴了，因为他没事情做了，他们就开始自己作战，自己打起来了。So
this courage was admired by the people who followed their kings into battle.
那么这种，因为他的具有被这种勇气，那人们就非常的佩服他，这些人自然就会去追随他去作战。Sometimes
even the wives of such kings demonstrated such skills in leadership.
甚至有的时候我们看到有这些国王呢，他们妻子也能够展示出一种领导的才能。Just
like when Krishna rescued Rukmini.
比如说我们知道 Krishna 他就去拯救了 Rukmini.
In order to fight, Krishna had to turn around and shoot arrows at the enemy. Rukmini, she was driving the chariot. She was the reins of the chariot.
那么 Krishna 为了作战呢，他就必须转过头去向后面的军队追赶他们的这些人射箭。这个时候就是 Rukmini 来。
And there's a famous story in Rajasthan of one queen.
Rajasthan 有一个非常出名的故事，它是一个皇后的故事。
The Muslims had attacked the kingdom.
当时呢，穆斯林来攻击这个国家。
And the king and all his people were inside the castle.
那么这些国王还有这些所有的臣民，他们就在一个城堡里面。
And the king was killed by one arrow.
这个国王呢，最后被一支箭射死了。
And many soldiers were killed.
同时呢，很多士兵也被杀了。
So it looked like the Muslims had won the battle.
所以呢，看起来好像穆斯林打赢了这场战争。
Actually, there were only a few, the queen and a few of her ladies, and some other ladies, some soldiers were there. So many had been killed.
事实上，到了最后，这个作战结束的时候，只有这个皇后，还有其他的一些女士，以及其他的一些士兵还活着，其他都被杀了。So
the Muslim king, he said that he wanted to come in and have some discussion.
穆斯林这个国王他就说他想进来，想跟他们来谈判一下。So
the queen agreed, but she would not allow herself to be seen by that Muslim king.
这个皇后呢同意了，但是呢她不许这个乌鲁斯林的国王看到她。
So, some series of mirrors were set up in such a way that the king, the Muslim king, could see her reflection, but not her direct form, her direct body.
然后呢，他们就用这个镜子这样一层一层的这样安排下来，只有这个国王能够看到这个皇后的这个镜子里面反射这个影子，但是没办法直接看到这个皇后。
So he was talking to her, but he was looking at her at a reflection in a mirror because a chaste woman doesn't want a sinful, lusty man to look upon her.
所以呢，这个国王他在跟这个皇后谈话，但是呢，他只能通过看到他镜子里面这个影子来说，因为这个女子非常的贞洁，他不希望被一个充满色欲的人盯着他看。
So that Muslim king, he said, I will spare all of your people if tomorrow you come to my camp and you enjoy with me.
那这个国王就对这个皇后说，如果你答应明天到我的这个阵营里面来跟我享受的话，我会把你们国家所有的臣民都放掉。
You come with some of your maidservants, and you come to my camp, and myself and my men, we will enjoy you, and then we will let all of your people go free. We won't kill all of your people.
国王就对这个皇后说，如果你明天带着你下面的一些女仆，然后到我这个阵营里面，让我和我手下的这些男人来享受你们，那我就会把你们全国所有的人都释放掉。
So she thought for a moment, and she said, okay.
她想了一会儿，然后说，好吧。
And all her maidservants were terrified. Oh no, we're going to be enjoyed at the hands of all these lusty men.
然后他手下面所有的女仆都非常的惊慌。他说：“天哪，我们现在要到被这些充满色欲、色眯眯的人来享受了。”
So she said, "No, no." She said, "We will go." She told the Muslim king, "We will come in our palanquins."
那么他就说：“不不不，你不用担心，我们会。”他就跟这个国王说：“我们会去，但是呢，我会坐着轿子来。”
And you can enjoy us to your heart's content.
你可以把我们享受的心满意足的。
Because we want all our people to go free, we don't want you to kill all the rest of our subjects.
因为我们希望我们现在所有的这些臣民都被释放，都得到自由，不希望被你们囚禁。
So the Muslim king said, "Okay, we will spare you. You come to my camp tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon."
然后这个国王就说：“好吧，我把你们都放了，你们明天下午3点钟到我这个阵营里面来。”
So this queen, she was of Khatriya blood.
皇后她本身就有一种杀敌的这个血液。
Her husband who died in the battle was a very powerful Khatriya. She was, you know, not a simple village girl. She knew about the art of warfare.
她的这个非常有力量的丈夫已经在战场上被战死了。那她并不是一个乡村姑娘，她也是一个杀敌的血液。她其实是懂得这作战机理的。
So the next day, all the Muslim soldiers got drunk.
第二天，穆斯林还下面的所有的士兵都喝醉了。
Oh, the Hindu girls are coming. We're going to enjoy them. They're drinking and drinking.
然后你想，这些印度教的姑娘们要来了，我们明天好好的享受她们。
And sure enough, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they saw the castle doors open, and hundreds of palanquins came out.
然后到了下午3点，这个城堡大门打开了，然后有成千上万的成百上千的这个轿子出来了。
And you know, in Vedic culture, when a woman would go somewhere in a palanquin, it was all closed, so the men couldn't see her.
我们知道在伟大的印度教的这个它的传统，就是所有的女子出来，如果坐在轿子的话，所有的轿子那个门都是关上的，那个帘子都垂下来的。
So all these palanquins, hundreds of palanquins are coming towards the camp of the Muslim. They're just, they're laughing and joking. I want that one. I want number three. I want number four. You know, so they...came out of their tents, they put all their weapons there, and they came out dancing and singing, and then all the palanquins came and encircled all the Muslim soldiers like that, and I want that one, I'm going to have that one.
所以这成百上千个轿子出来之后，那这边的这些穆斯林这些士兵啊，他们所有人都已经喝得醉醺醺的，然后武器也都扔了，然后就开始叫我要这个，我要那个，我要这个，我要3号、4号。然后这个时候，所谓的轿子就把他们团团围住，然后他们还在那儿争吵，我要这个，我要那个。
And suddenly, one of the curtains of the palanquin opened up, and the queen stepped out.
突然，这个其中一个轿子那个门掀开了，然后这个皇后出来了。
And then the Muslim soldiers went crazy. Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh my God. And she gave the order. She said, "Now."Opened the palanquins, and all her soldiers, the men who had survived the battle, they all stepped out. There was hundreds of soldiers there, and they slaughtered those Muslim soldiers who didn't have any weapons. They were all drunk with no weapons, and they were slaughtered. It's a true story. And this way she saved the kingdom. She was a woman, but she was a Kshatriya woman, and she was well-versed in the art of warfare.
所以呢，当这个皇后一出来呢，所有的人被惊呆了。那因为她长得太，都在那儿大叫，她怎么这么美啊？长得太美了。这个时候，这个皇后一站出来，然后叫下面所有的轿子门掀开，然后所有的出来是谁？不是那些姑娘，是不是女仆？是剩下的所有的士兵拿了武器，把这些喝得醉醺醺的也没有武器的这些穆斯林士兵一个全部杀掉了。所以就通过她这样一种杀敌的这种才能或者这种血液，她就拯救了她的王国。
Maybe some of you ladies, have the blood of the emperor in you.
可能你们中间某些女士也有一个女皇的这个才能血液。
Maybe some of you girls have that royal blood running through your veins from your ancestors who were emperors and great kings in China.
可能你们中间某些女子，你们的祖先就是中国的以前的国王，所以你们的那个身上也有这种沙地的血液。
And we can train you to be, you know, Kshatriyinis.
我们可以把你们训练成 Kshatriyinis.
Actually, Prabhupada wanted to train us all as Brahmanas and yeah, Brahmanas.
事实上，庞法师要把我们都训练成婆罗门。
So.There are so many things we could discuss, but this is leadership. This is how the kings in days of yore, and the same principles, the same philosophy can be applied or to some degree adapted to modern society.
So, then, this is 伟大的这种训示，其实呢，也就是也有这种也包含了这种领导才能。但是呢，我们应该把这所有的这些这种方式、啊、都运用到我们的灵修当中，
Modern politicians would do well to read these verses of Bhagavatam. To learn how to perform yajna for prosperous life. To encourage people in religious activity. To learn how to protect the innocent and how to conduct a civilized warfare.
应该教会人们如何去保护这些无辜的人，让他们去学习做恰当的作战技能。
The government should all pass laws that any aspiring politicians they should regularly study Srimad Bhagavatam.
政府应该颁发这样一道法律，凡是有任何人想要做政治家的话，他们应该先去经常去学习《博伽瓦坛》。
Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.Maharaj Judhishthir ki, Shishi Gorni Thai ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Yajna for the Age ki, Gaur Pimanandi. So we'll actually end here. Maharaj was suggesting questions, but we spoke exactly 1 hour, so I think that's enough.
Maharaj 建议我们还留一些时间问问题，但是呢，现在刚刚一个小时，我想应该是差不多了。
And we have a lot of preparation for the festival.Coming up tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. So we'll have Guru Puja.
Now we'll do Guru Puja.
Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai!